Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the Gospel according to Matthew, reading from chapter 9 and part of verse 9. Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 9 and part of verse 9. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. The whole text reads, And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. The Lord had a purpose. The purpose was to use this man as an instrument in his kingdom. And he came and called him. He did not call him at random. He knew him in eternity past. He loved him with an everlasting love. We see this many times. Zacchaeus, come down. Today is salvation. Come to thy house. Nicodemus was loved. Jesus taught him. There was fruit. He carried his body to the grave. The woman at the well. There was a purpose. He must needs go through Samaria. And to her was given that most beautiful of all words. I that speak unto thee am he. As he revealed himself to her as the Messiah and the eternal Son of God. And the Lord has a purpose in our day and generation. He calls. It is an effectual call. We see here, he called Matthew directly from the receipt of custom. Others were called indirectly. My mind went in considering this text to the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And there we read of the disciples and how one of them, and we read this, that the John the Baptist, speaking of Christ, said, Behold the Lamb of God. And there was one who heard it. And he followed Jesus. And he went and spoke to his brethren. The one that followed was Andrew. And he went and fetched his brother, Simon Peter. Said unto him, I found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And we know what happened. Thou art Peter. Thou shalt be called Cephas. And it was upon that rock, Christ Jesus. He was to be a minister of the gospel. And the Lord was to send him into his vineyard. He uses instruments. His servants to call his people. And there's a power that attends their words and the preaching of the gospel. What a word this is. It rested upon my mind today and it did yesterday. Follow me. Have you followed him? How far have you followed him? Has he separated you? Matthew apparently was separated from the world. He was, as we read in this chapter, it was in his house that this feast took place, and the scribes and Pharisees accused Christ of eating with publicans and sinners. It was not solely that he called such. Why, the Apostle Paul was called to follow him as a Pharisee, brought out of it, and separated. But there was a power that separated. Blessed effectual power. That was a holy heavenly commandment in the heart, and that resulted in fruit. I was very struck with this text upon my mind in the vestry here this evening, when our dear brother prayed in a way I've never heard anyone pray before, that the preaching might result in action. Oh, what a solemnity it is in action. For it amounts to disobedience. How beautiful is this passage. And he arose and followed him. We are poor creatures. Not known for instant obedience. Known for many excuses to God. Moses, eager in the court of Pharaoh to defend and lead his people Israel, but after 40 years in the backside of the desert, excuses, send whom thou wilt. He could not see when the command came to follow Christ. He could not see. He was, as the Apostle Paul says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He had respect under the recompense of the reward. But could he follow him? No. Couldn't obey. Wouldn't obey. Send whom thou wilt, he said to the Lord. Oh, perhaps that is in your heart. Send whom thou wilt. And you know, so often we lay down before God what we need to obey him, what he must do to bring us to obedience. We look at others and we think, well, they had this and that blessing. No. We come in dependence, with nothing, utter dependence upon the Lord, as Matthew did, in implicit obedience to follow him in his commandments, nothing doubting. And the Lord called, you read in some of the scriptures here, those who were called, and they said, had to go back to bury their father. Had to go back to say farewell. Oh, what Christ had to say about it. Then we put the hand to the plough, looking back. Not worthy of him. The Lord's call is to forsake all and follow him. And this was his command to his disciples. It was implicit obedience that he required and does require today. An implicit obedience. Not to say to him, Lord, if thou wilt give me this blessing or that, I'll follow thee. Oh, when the Lord calls, what a power there is in it. We know, and I know, and knew myself, what it was to walk in disobedience. But there's a blessedness in submission and obedience. Here is joy and peace. This man was to be used of God to write this very gospel. Two of the disciples, John and Matthew, wrote. Nicodemus was to be used of God to carry his body to the grave, and he knew it when he spoke to him that night. We see here the determinate counsel of foreknowledge of God in electing love and mercy, that he has a purpose for his dear children, and he will use them. Come what may, and despite of all their rebellion, he will use them. Some are solemnly left to walk in disobedience, and their lives are full of sorrow and bitterness, doubt and fear. I remember standing with my late father, the dying bed of a dear man of God. I shall never forget those words. The words were these. I was exorcised 14 years ago. I never could. If I rise from this bed, I'll come. He didn't. As I left that house, my father turned to me and said, as far as I'm concerned, he's baptized. This solemn path of disobedience, yet, oh, the blessedness of obedience. Those who came to Christ, we have read of them here in this chapter, the dear woman, what faith, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I should be whole. Daughter, go in peace, thy faith, it is faith, and his dear people venture to follow him. It is a gift of God in the exercise of it. And there is a proving of it. This is the path the Lord Jesus walked. Behold the Lamb of God, said John. Taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, how that preaching of the gospel drew Andrew. And Andrew's word drew Peter and John. The blessed working of the Spirit in the hearts of God's living family, a ripening of his purposes, and a bringing forth of fruit to his honour and his glory. But in following him, there is a taking up of a cross. There is indeed. The Lord calls his dear people to walk in his footsteps. They will be despised like their master. They'll be hated without a cause. They'll be tried and tempted as God's dear people always are, constantly. They will need divine help and strength in their solemn way. They will need keeping by the mighty hand of God. They will be the subject of Satan's temptation and the Lord's dealings with them. In his love and in his mercy, he chastens his dear people. And they will have many lessons to learn. It will be a conflict. In many ways, a bitter conflict. Scripture shows Peter denying his Lord with oaths and curses. Follow me. He said, as regards following Christ, I'll go with even unto death. debt he had to learn, what it was in following Christ. Be brought down at the mercy seat with a broken and a contrite heart. When thou art converted, said Christ to him, strengthen thy brethren. Oh, the pathway then that the Lord called his dear disciple Peter to walk. Pathway of humbling. Yet a pathway of proving God's faithfulness. Pathway of conflict. Pathway of learning. But a pathway in which his Lord would always be faithful to him. He would never leave him nor forsake him. It was a pathway in which the flesh would be crucified. The pathway which followed that ordinance of baptism in its blessed figure, buried with Christ in baptism, raised with him to newness of life. Yes, old nature to be buried. Fallen nature, this was the figure. Death to this world. And the Lord calls his dear church to follow him. It is to be separated from this world forever by a mighty separation. No longer to find their pleasure and enjoyment in the company of the godless heathen, but to find their union and communion with the living family of God. I never come into this sanctuary of God without it rushes into my memory so many godly saints that I have known and loved here and believe they are now most certainly in glory. They leave behind a precious memory. They leave behind this that they endured unto the end. The great hallmark of the work of God in their heart was they followed him. That they were separate and separated from the world. The great hallmark of so many of them was this. That in love they followed him in the sacred ordinances which he had ordained in the church and walked in submission. In faith, in rest, in himself. Their following was not at a distance. They did not make excuses. The Lord was with them. They were weak, but they were strong in him. He loved them. They ventured all upon him. And he kept them. They fought a good fight. They endured. They suffered many crucifying sorrow on a cross. But that was not unexpected. And this they endured unto the end. And there was manifested in their life blessed fruit. They brought forth fruit in old age. They could speak well of their Lord. Their lips were not tightly shut. There were things that they had handled and tasted, as John the Divine said, of the good word of life. And they knew the Lord's presence with them. And then this, he used them. And does use his dear children. There were those raised up in this church to be deacons, upon whose shoulders fell the burden of responsibility. And in Zion, there we see that were those who followed him. Raised up as Matthew was here, to be ministers of the gospel. He came from a despised pathway. He was an agent of the Roman Empire. He was despised of his own people because he collected taxes for a foreign power. He came from a humble background, numbered amongst the publicans and sinners. And yet, the eye of his God was upon him. His eye was upon all of them. And he called Nathanael. Nathanael's response was, "How knowest thou me?" Oh, he did know him. He said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." But you see, those called to be used in their day and generation of their God, we're called to a path of blessedness. With humble instruments in God's hands, a blessing to his dear people. Not to be onlookers in Zion, but to bear the burden and responsibility. But there was to be joy in their pathway, fruit to their labour. The Lord was to move and work in their lives. And he has the same purposes today. There is a sweet blessedness in the path of obedience. Oh, what a heavenly satisfaction. Not pride, something vastly different. The beauty of that heavenly word and commandment, if you love me, that mighty if, that examination of our whole religion, if you love me, keep my commandment. It is the love of Christ and love to Christ that constrains poor sinners to follow him, to venture on him as the dear hymn writer says, "Venture wholly. Let no other trust in truth." Oh, the solemn antithesis of this is unbelief. Flees to darkness and sorrow. But the powers of obedience are the powers of peace and joy in the Lord. They're the powers of venturing on him for strength and grace. And oh, when we see in so many of the cases in the scriptures, these dear saints, they touched the hem of his garment. As many as touched him were made whole. They ventured all on him. They came to him and they knew, what the woman knew, virtue has gone out of me. They knew what it was to enter into his strength in their weakness. They knew what it was to know those everlasting arms of love and mercy upholding them. They walked in the ordinances of his house in that heavenly peace that one day they'd be called to pass through more than the figure, the actual valley of the shadow of death. And there to know that same Jesus in all his faithfulness, his love and his mercy. We don't read that these men of God, when they were called in these early days of their life, had any particular blessings. The Lord called them by his Spirit. We read on the day of Pentecost that many whose hearts were touched by the word, the dear eunuch in the desert, when Philip went to speak to him under divine direction, came to that most blessed of all places, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And the only word that Philip gave him was this: if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And his response was this: I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The path will be a path of trial. It must be. It will be to take up our cross and to follow him. But if you and I are to follow in the footsteps of Christ, what a blessed path to be called into. Nothing more precious than this. Nothing more precious in the Lord's eyes than walking in this earth in a humble path of dependence in faith upon him. Resting in him all the way. Finding him to be that faithful, unchangeable friend. How blessed it is to walk in his path and to prove the sweetness of those eternal and everlasting arms underneath us, and to know that divine help and strength, to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Oh, when the Lord calls, how we see the solemnity of those who disobey. Those who followed him so far, but not all the way. Those who followed him at a distance. How solemn were their footsteps. Very struck. In reading in the Gospel of John of the Lord's conversation with the rich young man, he loved him. He had much of the things of this world. The Lord said to him, go, sell all thou hast to give to the poor, and come thou and follow me. But he was sorrowful and went away. Oh, the solemnity of those who followed him for the loaves and fishes. He challenged them with it. But I thought of those who followed him in love, irrespective of what the world thought. Those dear women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, they came and followed him right to the cross. The blessedness of those who had been so long secret disciples, the fear of the Jews. It hid their light under a bushel in vast unbelief and disobedience. Yet he did not despise them. But when the time came, he brought them out into the open to follow him. I believe this. They never went back to be a secret disciple. No longer were they silent, their lips sealed. They now joined the body of the disciples and went to their own company under the work of the Spirit. And how blessed that the Lord should have chosen two such men to come out and reveal the fact they were his followers in that hour of great danger, and to take his body to the tomb. What a glorious, sacred, divine privilege. These were the men he called. They had been so fearful. Others who followed him, like doubting Thomas, what a character he was, are not believed. unless I see. The Lord had such mercy and compassion on him. How we often say, I'll not do that unless the Lord gives me a word. How solemn. The Lord had mercy on Gideon. He asked for signs, and the Lord gave them to him. Be not angry with me, he said. Oh, when the Lord moves and works, he requires implicit obedience. And he calls his dear children into that same pathway that he walked himself, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You had a right realization of the majesty and glory of God, and how he looks upon sin and rebellion and defiance and disobedience, the extent of his mercy, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. Oh, he forgives the wanderer. Moses, with all his disobedience at the burning bush, he gave him Aaron to speak for him. But oh, how solemn. Ever, I believe, must he have thought, as he listened to Aaron speaking for him, of his unbelief, his unreadiness and unwillingness to trust his God and to bring him into those paths of obedience. These are solemn things. Matthew obeyed implicitly. What a beautiful word it is. And he arose and followed him. He came in love to his God to walk in those paths the Lord had ordered. And it's a blessed thing in Zion when there is the grace of submission, when there is the exercise of faith, when there is a trust in him. And when there is a venturing in his holy name. And when there is, follow me. And it is heard in the heart. There's no lingering. The Lord requires all the heart or nothing. If the Lord has begun with us, let us not turn back. Or linger. Or bring to him anything but simple submission and obedience. For he delights in this. I know that he himself is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That in Gethsemane, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But I would point out to you this. That was not all. He added, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Amen.